sermon series continues with Exodus 13, verses 20 through 22. As the Israelites flee from slavery in Egypt, and Moses takes them through the Red Sea and Sinai Desert to the Promised Land, it's cloud by day and fire by night that lead them. Beginning with verse 20. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they may travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now may the words of our mouths, meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. Well, it is our New Year's sermon series that continues today, and we focus upon epiphanies. And just as a reminder, an epiphany is a revelation from God. Typically, it's some sort of a appearance or voice in which God reveals. God reveals His will, His word, and His way to His people. And the one we focus upon today, as heard already, is that story of Moses. Moses in the Bible, where the children of Israel are led by a pillar, a cloud by day, and fire by night. We're going to visit three faith points this morning, and so here we go. Faith point number one, who is actually leading this charge? Moses gets a lot of credit, doesn't he? I mean, he's the one, he's the leader, he's the deliverer, he's the one who is the main character in so many early books of the Bible. Goodness gracious, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, he's just the main person in all of that. Those stories, as they unfold, he's the one that's placed in the basket among the reeds in the Nile River, the one who's going to be protected from, hopefully, from that wicked Egyptian Pharaoh. He's the one who then is found by Pharaoh's daughter. He grows up then in Pharaoh's household. He's the one who then stands before Pharaoh 10 times, 10 plagues. Goodness gracious, that 1956 classic movie with Charlton Heston where he says, God saith, let my people go. None of us can forget that. It still runs almost every single year. He's the one who raises the staff over the Red Sea, and about 2.5-3 million people, Israelites, charge through. They go through the Red Sea, only then for the Egyptian army to follow and be swallowed up by that Red Sea. He's the one who meets with God on Mount Sinai, where God delivers those Ten Commandments. He's the one who's the mediator between God and the people as they wander through the desert for some 40 years on their way to the Promised Land. He's that military strategist who battles enemies in that grueling desert. He's the one who points out the water holes and uplifts where the quail and the manna are going to be for their daily diet for the next four decades. He's the one who feels the gripes and the moans of all the people that it's too hot, it's too cold, no rest for the weary, only days that are dreary, sand in their sheets and blisters on their feet, sunburnt skin, and Moses, well, basically with a no win. Yes, I suppose indeed, we could probably refer to Moses as the leader, because he sure gets a lot of press in the books. Goodness gracious, Moses' name appears 803 times in Scripture. That is the third most, only behind King David and, of course, Jesus Christ. That's a lot of criteria. A lot of criteria to be called the leader. You know, that's not what the Bible says to us this morning. Exodus chapter 13 reads this way. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way in the pillar of fire by night. I know indeed that it can be said no more clearly than what we hear in these words. It's not Moses, but it's the Lord who's in the lead, the Lord who is in the front. of the front building as church leaders. We kind of tend to be the face of the congregation, the point person, you might say, the man or the woman in the pulpit. But the Bible passage says that it's God. It's God who does the leading. And we all understand that God uses people. God uses people to do his mighty works. He works through people. He works his perfect message and will through imperfect people. But let's get it straight. It's God who leads, because in the end, we humans would bring it all to ruin. It was Martin Luther who wrote a prayer in the 1500s, and that prayer really uplifts who the real leader is. There's copies of this particular prayer in the robing room of where pastors get ready right before a church service. Matter of fact, we have one on the wall in our church. It's not there right now because it's under construction, but it'll be back there. It's from the 1940s or 1950s. It's called Luther's Sacristy Prayer, and it's to be prayed before the preacher goes out and leads worship. It goes like this. Lord God, you have appointed me as bishop and pastor in your church, but you see how unsuited I am to meet so great and difficult of a task. If I had lacked your help, I would have ruined everything long ago. Therefore, I call upon you. I wish to devote my mouth and my heart to you. I shall teach your people. I myself will learn and ponder diligently upon your word. Use me as your instrument, but do not forsake me. For if I should ever be on my own, I would easily wreck it all. Oh, how true. How true. Let it be clear. Let it be clear that this is God's church, not our church, and it's God who's at the wheel. You know, this last spring, Tammy and I went across the pond. We visited Germany and the Czech Republic. We sailed on the Elbe River. It was one of those river cruises. I got to tell you, oh my goodness, a magical, wonderful, amazing experience. We visited World War II sites, castles. We saw churches that were 1,000 years old. And at one point on the cruise, the captain invited anyone who wanted to come into the control room to do so. Well, I ain't going to let an invitation like that just stand there. I eagerly took him up on that offer. I was all in the hope of I'd be able maybe to put my hands on the helm. I'd get a picture behind the steering wheel there with the captain. But as I crawled in that cockpit, I discovered that everything, absolutely everything, every piece of equipment was digital. All the coordinates to the next port were already fed into the ship's computer. And the captain just sort of stood there observing. The depth of the ship and the waters that it was navigating, all taken care of by this computer. Sonar out there avoiding rocks and other boats and trees and going aground. GPS instruments guided the rudder so that the destination corrections could be made. I didn't get to do anything but basically watch the ship sail itself. Some of us are familiar with that t-shirt, that poster, that coffee cup that reads, God is my co-pilot. Well, you know, it sounds like something that is spiritually strong, right? But it's biblically wrong. You see, God's not our partner. God's not our running buddy. God's not our co-anything in this journey of life. His role is that of leader. And we just think we as humans many times are leading, but left to our own devices, sooner or later, it's all going to be shipwrecked. I think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve who took matters in their own hands, right? They ate of that tree and broken relationship for all humanity. I think about Cain who took the reins. But where did that end up? Chasing his best interest his best thing to do was kill his brother Abel out of a jealous rage. Or David who sat on the throne. The king, he decided to do what he wanted to do. He stole another man's wife and then had to murder that man in order to cover it up. Or just think of the many, many stories. Scripture is so riddled with such tragedies of human life when humans wrongly think that we're the leaders in this life. Rather, our message today is quite simple, and it's given to us in powerful body language. language of the cloud of fire by day, the cloud by day and the fire by night. And where is that? That's in front. That's out in the lead. It's not the people, it's not the pastors, and not even mighty Moses pointing the direction. But it's God. That's our first faith point. Clear, powerful, in black and white. God is our leader. Faith point number two. 24/7, 365. Or if it's a leap year, 24/7, 366. Yes, indeed. We understand this to mean anytime, every time, all the time, continuous, constant, nonstop, without fail. That this cloud by day and fire by night was not just a one and done by our divine God, but it occurred for the Jews all throughout their 40 years through the wilderness, through the Red Sea, through the desert, and into the promised land. But this cloud and this fire traveled with them all the time, every day. You see, it's God. It's God who never slumbers nor sleeps. It's God who will never abandon us. It's God who is with us around the clock. Let's break it down. Cloud by day. Imagine being in the desert for a week, much less 40 years, right? Very few trees, very few mountains or hills or valleys. Anything that you can find a little bit of shade, a little bit of reprieve from the sun's scorching rays. An exposure to this sweltering heat, you know, saps the body of almost all of its moisture. While at the same time, it roasts the human hide to a medium rare. It's Texas heat in August with triple-digit temperatures. I recall my hay hauling days in high school, college, 25 cents a bale. How many of you hauled hay in the summertime? Oh, my goodness. We were dumb as rocks, I got to tell you. We hauled hay in the heat of the day. Cloudless days, it didn't matter. And get this, we take off our shirts so we can get those deep suntans so that we can impress the chicks as well, right? Oh, my goodness. That's why Dr. Majors and Dr. Clay get these business that we have given them these days. And oh, to finish putting a trailer load of hay in the barn, we'd find the canopy of a tree. We'd rest under it for a few minutes to regain some energy. But it certainly did not give us a whole lot of common sense. Go back out in that field and do it all over again. But oh, how we imagined an opportunity to have a day in which the clouds were blocking off some of those awful rays. People of God, God's cloud by day offered them a desert traveler's cover. It was a shield between them and the horrid heat of a fireball in the sky and vulnerable flesh on the ground. And this cloud in the sky makes me think about how Christ is our refuge, and he gets in between the heat of a righteous wrath of an angry God against our sin, and we as guilty sinners. It's his lair of salvation for us. He shields us from the fiery flames of hell, you may say. And it's with his death and with his resurrection that he gives us this cover. Otherwise, we'd be doomed to burn in the eternal fires of Hades. See, with him, we are not exposed. It says, Psalm 121 says, he who keeps you will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your shade. He's your shade at your right hand, and the sun will not smite you by day. That's the cloud. And then, of course, there's the fire by night. And that, of course, provided light, particularly at night. It also provided warmth. You know, it gets cold in a desert. I Googled this, and you can check it out, too, because everything on Google is probably true, right? But in a desert, it could get to be 100 degrees during the day. But at night, that temperature could fall below 30 degrees, freezing. The fire of God provided not just warmth then, but it provided the protection from harmful critters like scorpions and snakes. It revealed enemies that were trying to creep up in the dark to attack. God is often imaged in the Bible as a fire or a light to give us protection, to give us hope, give us faith and strength in our journey. We've got candles lit up here on the altar. It's a symbol of God's presence, God's light that comes into our lives. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, they were never to be extinguished, never to go out. The priest's job was to make sure that the candles were always burning, the presence of God with the people. The tongues of fire that rested and set afire the flames on Pentecost. And Jesus, of course, is spoken as the light of the world. A light that no darkness will overcome. Yes, indeed, it is a cloud by day and a fire by night. Better than that postal service motto which says, neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Well, maybe that's not so true these days anymore, anyway. All to say, we are never without God's presence. He is always with a believer. It's as we many times say at the end of a worship service, be reminded that Almighty God is. He's above you to watch over you, beside you to guide you, underneath you to hold you, and within you to give you his peace. Yes, indeed, our God is 24/7, 365. And finally, faith point number three. God will always provide another Moses, a Moses replacement. You see, Moses served the Israelites for some 40 years. He assisted them in escaping Egypt, leading them through the desert and entering into the promised land. But get this, and don't miss it, please. God was going to deliver his people from bondage. Whether Moses participated or not, he was going to send a deliverer. Someone was going to free his people. Moses just happened to be the person that said yes, took God up on his offer. But if Moses would have declined, if Moses would have said no, God would have asked someone else. It might have been a Garrett or a Tootsie or a Doug or a Peter or even a Stephen. But God was going to deliver his people by someone, by some method. It just happened to be a Moses. You see, servants of God are called and they come and they go. There's that great story in the Bible, that faithful servant Elijah. He becomes in time replaced by Elisha. There's King Saul, whose position eventually was followed by a David. And this Moses who had a wonderful 40-year run at serving God and the children of Israel, well, he wasn't around forever, and he too was replaced by another faithful and true servant called Joshua. All to say, God provides. As God has provided in the past, God provides in the present, God provides in the future. And God has provided for this congregation for 178 years. And God will continue to provide because we look backwards in order to continue to look forward and know that God is faithful. I've been blessed in my ministry to serve in a first call at Grace Lutheran Church in Sinton, Texas for 9 years. It was a blessed time. And then to be called here to Holy Ghost and to serve for the last 27 years. And we're not done. You're not done with me. I'm not dead. You ain't going to bury me yet. We got a lot of good ministry to get going in the next 12 months. We got a lot of important things to do. 12 more months. Healthy transitions. Getting involved in the call process early. Call another pastor so that we can still focus on being and making disciples, putting on the servant towel in the community, and letting our light so shine before others that they may see good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. But come that time next January, the God who is faithful, he already knows. He already has his hand on somebody. He has a plan figured out that there will be another kingdom servant. Praise be to God. Praise be to God that he alone is the leader. He is 24/7, 365. As God has provided in the past, he will continue to provide for all of our tomorrows. Free. He is the light, the cloud by day, and he is the fire by night. Amen. 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 Hey, let's sing the song as we share our gifts.
At this time, we have a, if you'll, first of all, go to your insert for the Der Stadtfriedhof Cemetery. We have some slides for you that we'd like to share. Just kind of what's going on. You can see as we look at this, if you look at that phase one, that we are deep into this. If you haven't had a chance to drive over there, I would highly, highly encourage you to go over. It's paved. Amen? All right, and we have some slides here. This, those of you that have been over there at any time, I will just say you don't need a four-wheel drive or high vehicle now to get in on some of these spots. This is what it was, and boy, if it rained, it was really, really challenging. But, so that's back in November. Here's November, some more, and just a little more here on just kind of the condition. We have a great team. Lots of meetings and hours, tons and tons of volunteer hours put in. In fact, you'll notice the cemetery board